Sigrid Schultz, Mutual's American Observer in Germany, is ready now with a report from Berlin on the war situation as she sees it in the German capital. European broadcasts are subject to censorship at the point of origin. We take you now to Berlin, Germany.
They worried each other about the closeness of the ties uniting them and the common tasks awaiting Tokyo, Rome, and Berlin. Japan Premier Konoye wired to Mussolini in reply to Mussolini's telegram about their common task for, quote, the creation of a new world order, unquote. Japan's foreign minister, Matsuoka, received the representative of a German official news agency in his home and sent a message to the German people. In this, he assured the German people that Japan would be the most loyal ally of Germany and Italy. All this follows up nicely the ceremonies of last Friday, when, in the German Chancellery, the new three-power pact between Germany, Italy, and Japan was signed. At the beginning of the century, Kaiser Wilhelm spoke much of the yellow peril, but in this year of 1940, the Japanese flag floated in full glory beside the Italian banners and the swastika on the Brandenburg Gate, on the Chancellery, and on many other buildings in the German capital. The German press and radio say that the new pact will be of decisive importance for the political and diplomatic developments of this war. I have met scores of Germans who beamed their satisfaction. They told me that they were convinced that America would not get into the war. They argued that the joint fleets of Japan, Germany, and Italy were so powerful that even those in America who might be arguing for intervention in Europe's struggle would hardly dare to continue with their policy. The way things are going, the more spectacular stage of the war seems to be nearing rapidly. German war reports have it that daily, the attacks of the German Air Force against England are becoming more numerous and more energetic. The official German bulletins reported 102 English planes shot down the day before yesterday. Yesterday, the high command declares 28 British planes were shot down. Well, last night, their attacks were carried on uninterruptedly from 8 o'clock on Saturday evening until early this morning. This afternoon, the Germans declare their planes were again over the English capital. In today's report, the Germans assert that only one of their planes was shot down over England, which Germans take as evidence that, quote, British resistance is weakening, unquote. German official sources declare that one of the German squadrons, which has been bombing since the beginning of the Battle of England, has dropped a total of 5,000 tons of bombs on England, 80% of which they assert fell on London. The German capital also had its air raid experiences last week, including its longest ear alarm of this war, which lasted close to 5 hours. In this long raid, people in their shelters did not hear much shooting, nor could those in the city itself see much when they got out of the shelters and sneaked a look while making sure that no incendiary bombs had fallen on or near their house. Nevertheless, it was a long raid. Last night we had 2 raids, not very long ones, following close upon each other. When the all-clear was sounded for the first raid, something happened with the sirens. They shrieked much longer than usual, and everybody wondered. This morning, the Völkische Beobachter tells the population that it should not believe that when the alarm signals were protracted or repeated, that a gas attack has started. The Montag writes that measures have been taken to warn the population of an impending gas attack, stating, quote, should such a danger really exist, the population will be warned in time by other means, unquote. Other papers assure the population that enough gas masks are available for the emergency and that they can be purchased. The newspapers enjoin the population of German cities, especially the Hausfraus, to try to make the air raid shelters as livable as possible. Authorities have now allowed the use of stoves and electric heaters in the underground shelters, which improves matters for many since winter is upon us. And basements at best are cold places, mostly built originally to provide the temperature best suited to age wine. Some of Berlin's emergency shelters I visited still retain the perfume of barrels in which wine is ripening to its ideal age. While the population is now definitely air raid conscious, all the different companies and organizations are telling how well prepared they are. The Berlin Zoo and Aquarium, for instance, have made most elaborate preparations for all emergencies. The reaction of the animal world to air raid is most revealing. The pigeons, symbols of peace, live up to their peaceful reputation. They get so upset when the alarm sounds and the roar of the raid starts that they flutter wildly, and the day after the raid, their young are found lying dead under the nest. The wild animals, like the lion, the tiger, and the leopard, view the matter with the indifference becoming to the born scrapper. The buffalo and his family have a thick skin. They pay no attention whatsoever to the horrible sounds man's death-dealing equipment emits during raids. The elephant takes matters more seriously. He displays his family instinct more than any other animal, with a grown elephant worrying about how the baby elephants are taking the matter. The warden of the elephant house says that as long as he can keep the baby elephants at peace during a raid, the grown elephants keep their nerve. An extra loaf of bread usually does the trick. The monkey house dislikes air raids, and the monkeys know more about what causes them than any other wild creature. Their wardens say that ever since the first air raid started, the monkeys realized that they had something to do with planes. When an ordinary commercial plane or a military plane practicing over Berlin fly over the zoo at daytime, the monkeys now rush into a huddle, each group gathering round its leader. The big orangutan takes the matter calmly, showing that he is the most grown-up of the ape family, but the baboons hide their heads easily. The morning after an air raid, they are all out of sorts. They won't talk and they won't eat. About toward noon, the chief baboon jabbers and the other baboons gather round and jabber in reply, and then they decide things might not be so bad after all, and they resume their interest in life. Those who really enjoy air raids are the crocodiles and the alligators. At least, instead of trying to hide in their retreat, they come forth and they bark and they roar as loud as they can. Guards are on duty all over the zoo, equipped with guns in case wild animals escape, with water hose in case bombs start fires, and nets and other paraphernalia to catch tame animals that might escape from their pens or cages if they are hit. Big boxes are in readiness in the aquarium to carry the venomous snakes to the underground shelters that are warm enough for them. Should they escape, guards have orders to shoot them if they find it impossible to catch them before they leave the aquarium. In quite a number of apartment buildings, special small air raid shelters have been prepared for persons who don't want to leave their dogs in the apartment while they seek safety in the shelter. A black and white Pekingese lady of my acquaintance, not much bigger than a tall man's fist, is displaying a new sense for dogs. Her owners assert that she usually starts to fuss about and wake them about a quarter of an hour before the air raid alarm sounds, all of which provides conversation for the hours which people must spend together in their air raid shelters. The ministers visiting in Berlin, Italy's Count Ciano, and Spain's Minister of the Interior, Senior, have had their air raid experiences in the German capital. The Italians declare that Count Ciano spent his air raid time playing chess with friends, while Senior conferred with his Spanish aides. Both Senior and Ciano left Berlin today. Senior was scheduled to return to Spain from Berlin, but instead he went southward. He is spending a day in Munich and will then go to Rome. This, some circles in Berlin believe, shows that an agreement has been reached between the Spaniards, the Italians, and the Germans. Quite a number of them express the conviction that Spain will be the first to join the new three-power pact between Italy, Germany, and Japan, and turn it into a four-power pact. For Americans still in Europe, this is alarming news. From a purely selfish viewpoint. To date, the best way to go home was to travel through France and Spain to Portugal and board a steamer or an airplane. This week, the Spaniards suddenly, without explanation, ruled that transit visas are to be granted only by authorities in Madrid and only in case of emergency. It is hoped that Washington will be able to induce Madrid to alter this ruling. But if Spain does give up her Spaniards non-belligerent, this will make matters more difficult for Americans. This is Sigurd Schultz speaking for Mutual Broadcasting System, returning you to America.